Good to see everyone here this morning. We appreciate your presence very, very much. And appreciate very much the song selection. And that last was good, Ethan. I thought that's a good selection. And everyone sang out good. And we all miss it every once in a while. But that was good. We were singing from the heart, though. We were going for it. It was good. We've been talking about the straight and narrow way for the last few Sunday mornings, and I want to continue that this morning with you, if you don't mind. In chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. The gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." I think that I have said this already, but I want to reemphasize that what Jesus is saying at the close of this great sermon, he's saying get to heaven is not going to be that easy. But he did not say that it's impossible. Without God, it would be impossible. But with God's help, all things are possible. Going to heaven is just the greatest thing that there is. And I really appreciate Ethan leading those songs to remind us of the beauty and the greatness of heaven. And that's what we're striving for. That's what we want. To be able to enter one day, to spend eternity in heaven. Well, the lessons that we've chosen to talk about, we've been dissecting the Beatitudes in chapter 5. And this morning we're going to continue that line of study. And we're looking at the aspect of happiness. And when we consider the idea of happiness, I think all of us we want to be happy. But my guess is all of us are not happy. Maybe we've deceived ourselves into thinking that as long as we have some money, or we can go on a vacation, or we can do this or do that, whatever it might be, that we're happy for a little bit. But if you find yourself after doing things that you think would be great, we usually come to a point that we come down to a valley. My experience has been that when you have looked forward to something for so long and you experience it, you have this mountaintop experience feeling. It's great. But after that mountaintop experience has been enjoyed, then it seems right after that you crash down into the valley of the shadow of death. And I think there's a reason for that. Is that these things that we have in this life is not what satisfies really our souls. There is a passage of Scripture in the book of Psalms, in chapter 63 and in verse 1. And it's a simple statement, but I think it reminds us of something bigger than what we're looking for. "O God, Thou art my God, I shall seek Thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for Thee, my flesh yearns for Thee. In a dry and weary land where there is no water." As we stop to consider that particular statement, I think it's fair to say that that text is saying that in each one of us, God has created within man an inescapable need for Him. So that it's not misunderstood. There's nothing wrong with going on vacation. There's nothing wrong per se with money. There's not anything wrong with us enjoying life. It doesn't fulfill. What fulfills you? What completes you? What really makes you happy? It's God. That's the way He's created us. So this morning, we want to continue our study, and we're going to look at verse 6. And the text says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." I am well convinced that there are many in this life that are simply not happy because they don't hunger and thirst for righteousness. And what does that mean exactly? Well, I think there are a lot of folks that are religious. In this area, regardless of what denomination somebody goes to, there are lots of people that are very religious people. They believe in God. They talk about going to heaven. But yet, while they count themselves as Christians, they're not happy. And why is that? I think the reason is because they really don't go after righteousness like a starving man goes after food and water. This is what Jesus is talking about. Blessed, that is happy, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The word hunger and thirst there is the same language that is used in the book of Matthew chapter 4, just before the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus went into the wilderness and He fasted for 40 days and nights. And it says that He became hungry. The word that is there is that you are starving. Wouldn't you think after 40 days you'd be starving? If I go more than 40 minutes without eating, I think I'm hungry. Probably not many of us really experience the concept of this hunger. We are blessed. I appreciate Michael talking about that. How blessed we are. Brian talked about that. We are very blessed in this country. But in this particular statement about being hungry, food and water are necessities. When we found out that brethren in South Africa don't have water, they don't have food, those are essentials. And this church has been so very, very generous in helping your brothers, both from the treasury and individually. But if you can just imagine if you didn't have water or you didn't have food, how much you would desire that. And you certainly would come to realize pretty soon how much you need that. If we don't get water and food, we're going to die. If you want to be happy, you need to hunger and thirst for righteousness the way a starving man wants a drink of water or something to eat. And I'm going to say to all of us, I think that's hard for us to relate to. I just think that's difficult for us to really grasp. This beatitude really points to something very simple. It's a call for a change of priority. How many things do we do on a regular basis that we really don't need to do? How much time is spent doing things that you really don't even like doing? How many things are there really in life that we have in our society that we do that we have to do? Most of our list of things are things that we choose to do. And that list is long. I feel for parents that have children that school, sports, other curricular activities. I mean, it just, for a parent, it just dominates you. And if you're a parent and you work secular work too, you're just covered up with things that you have to do. I have to get up in the morning. I have to get ready and go to work. I have to get the kids to school. They've got to go to ball practice. They've got to do their homework. And at the end of the day, when you've done all those things, you may or may not be happy. You may or may not be satisfied. You may or may not be anyone that anybody would want to be close to or next to, because you're going through all of this, these things. And that's just life. And I think most of us would recognize that if going to work and just taking care of our kids in the sense, and I'm not saying we don't love our kids, there are great joy and a great fulfillment to us in many respects. But if that's all there is, and that's all there was, I don't think many of us would be extremely happy. Got to be something more. Why do we look so forward to going to the Smoky Mountains? Why do we look so forward to going to Florida? Why do we look so forward to going to Colorado for a few days, or going camping or something? Why do we look forward to that? We're looking for that place. We're looking for that opportunity to be happy. Well, what Jesus is saying in this particular passage, here's where happiness is. Hungering and thirsting for what's right. If you break down the word righteousness, the key root word is right. And here's something we need to make sure that we understand from the very get-go. There are a lot of people that it just doesn't matter to them what's right or wrong. They're not going to spend a lot of time thinking about it, talking about it, let alone studying God's Word and really trying to figure out exactly what's right. Most people take the position that it really doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you something. If you are the kind of person that puts religion and the way you live your life before God in the category that it really doesn't matter, I'm pretty much going to, if I'm a betting man, I'm going to bet on the fact that you ain't happy. Because God made us, He put within us a sense of searching for Him and what's right. And when you eliminate that from your life, no wonder you're unhappy. No wonder you're unfulfilled. Well, if you want to be happy, you care about what's right. Let me say it this way so that you don't misunderstand what Jesus is saying. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," no man comes into the Father but by me. Did you know that you cannot possibly be happy going down another path? Because true happiness is going down the path that leads to God. And Jesus said, "I'm that way." Here is, in this particular text, are the principles of walking that way. The attitude you must have is you care and you hunger for what's right. When we differ about something, does it matter? When churches disagree with churches, does it matter? It's easy to make up your mind personally and even congregationally just to accept the way you were raised, the way you were taught, because my mom and daddy believes this. This is what my other preacher used to say. And it's done, and you just don't really care about examining that any further. Then you ain't happy. Because Jesus said, here's happiness. You hunger and thirst for what is right. If you have ever been wrong one time, that ought to bother you and help you to understand how great it feels when you found out you're wrong and then you changed and did what was right, how you felt. So this morning, are you wrong? You're happy if you look for what's right. Okay. Cannot talk about this topic without showing food. Okay? So in a few moments, we'll be saying a dismissal prayer. And then we're all just going to scatter to parts unknown to go get something to eat, right? We're all looking forward to that. When you look at that, even if you're not hungry, when you look at that kind of food, you're thinking, okay, I think I'll just go ahead and eat anyway. I spend most of my time, as I said, I eat and I'm not even hungry. You know why? Because I like it. I like eating. I like food. I enjoy the taste of it. I've said this before. There are people who eat to live, and there are people that live to eat. I would be the latter. I enjoy eating. If you think about some really good food, haven't you, when you were sitting down and you've already eaten and you're already full, and you look across the table and you see that additional dish or something that maybe you've overlooked because you were too busy gobbling down something else, and you looked over there and you thought, oh man, I'm full. I can't eat another bite. Would you pass that to me, please? And then when you're just, you know, you're just stuffed plumb up to the gills, and then there's dessert. How many of you just, I mean, your belly is just pooched out. You couldn't eat any dessert if your life depended on it, but you eat dessert. Why do you do that? Because we like it. Now, there's a principle here that I think Jesus is pointing to. He's pointing to this basic fundamental idea, and that is this. The Jews in Jesus' day that he was talking to, they thought they were good enough already. They thought themselves to be religiously fat. They didn't need any more. So when Jesus taught them, they were arrogant and prideful of their own righteousness. We said a moment ago that that big long word, the root of it is right, being right. But righteousness is the process or the way of living rightly. So how is the right way to live? Do you feel like spiritually you are fat? And you just can't eat another bite. Well, how would you know that? We talk about these kinds of things and it seems as if we just wear it out. We just beat that horse to death. But when you don't come to Bible study on Sunday morning, are you fat enough? Or Sunday night or Wednesday night? Now, some people can't come because they have physical disabilities. They have situations and problems and issues they're dealing with. And I'm not your judge. I'm not going to judge you for that. That's between you and God. But as a teacher, I must rattle everyone's cage, so to speak, to make sure that what you're thinking is you're thinking right. Someone has rightly said in regards to the gospel that the gospel comforts the afflicted. And I think that's true. But the gospel also afflicts the comfortable. What Jesus is talking about, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Jesus makes the point time and time again to the Jews. They thought they were just fine and they didn't need any more of God or His teaching. And I'm afraid that is the case with most churches today. Most brethren feel like you're just fine. I can come Sunday morning only, even if I could come other times. I'm not talking about people that can't. But even if you could come other times, you don't. And you know what the problem is? You don't think you need it. Or else you'd be here. Now there's another case or another kind of people. It's a very sad thing. A very serious thing. There are people who are extremely unhealthy. And they can't eat. They don't want to eat. If they eat, it makes them sick. And that's a major problem. People die from that. So rather than talking about some big fat person that you view yourself spiritually, and you don't need anything to eat, you may be this little bitty, scrawny, skinny person that is so spiritually unhealthy and would... The Word of God has offered the bread of life to you. You don't even desire it. Now, I don't know who you are, if you are either one of those. But what does Jesus say? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's where you're supposed to be. There's where you need to be. And that is, you hunger and thirst for what is right, like a starving man seeks water and food. So, worshiping together is just one way to be filled, to be satisfied. Your daily Bible reading, another. Praying to God, another. There are lots of different ways that that's fulfilled. But I want to suggest to us that as Christians, we may have just stopped even thinking about the priority in our life of hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I want to know more. I want to do more. So here's another part of this, I believe, teaching. If you are content with who you are as a Christian, that's a problem. You you need to want to do better. If you're content with everything that you're doing, that's a little bit of a problem. You should want to do more. And if you think that you pretty well know everything you need to know, and I've heard Christians even make this ludicrous statement, well, I've read through the Bible one time, I feel pretty good about it. One time. You read through the Bible one time, and you're good. There are people that have never read the Bible that know more than people that are Christians that have read the Bible one time. And both are not hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Be serious with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Are you really serious about going to heaven? Are you really? And are you miserable? You know, when I stand before a group of people, I don't know people's hearts. I don't misunderstand. But facial expression and body language says sometimes a lot. And I stand before people that claim to be Christians that look absolutely miserable. We should be the happiest people in the world. You don't have to go to South Africa to see happy people. And I saw lots of happy people in South Africa. And we all know it wasn't because of riches and water and drink or food. I see happy people here too. People that have a joy in their heart for God and want to do what's right. That is so encouraging. If you're miserable, it may be because you're riding the fence. You don't really have a secure feeling or assurance that you're going to heaven. You really don't know. In fact, you have a pretty good idea you're not. You don't go to God in prayer very much at all because your conscience just bothers you too much. You're embarrassed to talk to God about what you know He and you both know about yourself. You just can't be happy that way. And there's no need for you to live that way. We've talked about these Beatitudes as being choices. You're not born with it. You don't go to Walmart and buy it. It's a choice. You got to make up your mind that you want to be fed what's right. Lastly, in that verse, did you notice that it says, "For they shall be satisfied"? Did you notice that? Some versions have, "and they shall be filled." What I found interesting in my study is that it's the same word that occurs in Luke 16. You remember that Lazarus was placed at the rich man's gate and he desired the crumbs that fell from his table? Did you know that the language there says this? That Lazarus believed that if he could just have the crumbs from the table, it would satisfy him. Now later in that story, roles are switched, are they not? The rich man had it great on earth, Lazarus did not. Then they both die, and in Hades, the rich man is in torments and Lazarus is in the arms of Abraham? Do you remember that the rich man wanted Lazarus? He said to Abraham, send Lazarus with just a drop of water to touch on my tongue that I might have some satisfaction. Do you know the benefit of hungering and thirsting for righteousness? The crumbs from the table of God will fill you up. The crumbs. Let alone hungering and thirsting for everything that God reveals. So what would I take from this beatitude? Here's what I hope you get. You need to want more. You need to want more of what's right. You need to be more demanding of me as a preacher and a teacher to want more. You need to be more demanding of our elders, of our Bible class teachers, of yourself. You want more. You want more. You want more. And understand this, that when you get on that track and that's the way you're running your life, searching after righteousness is your priority, then are you really going to be happy? Being a part-time Christian, being a part-time churchgoer, being a part-time prayer, you are miserable, and when nothing changes, nothing changes. You need to give it 110% or just quit. That sounds strange coming from a preacher, right? Do you remember what the Lord said to the Laodiceans? I wish you were either cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You see, God's attitude about how we should live our lives, either you're all in or you're not. That's His teaching. And He says happiness comes as a result of being all in. So here's the challenge that you face as a child of God today. Are you all in? May I take just an extra moment to say this, because it is a teaching moment. How did you feel when Phil made the announcement about the Birdwells? There may have been a plethora of feelings, right? One, obviously, sadness. Feeling for them. The hurt. These folks have been married for 30 plus years. They've been studying and talking about... Carol's been studying and talking about this for 20 years. She didn't just up and decide one day, yeah, this is wrong. She's been thinking and praying and studying and talking about this for a long time. They studied the Bible diligently about this. They were hungry for what was right. Now, what do you do when you study the Word of God and you find out you're wrong? Carol and Anthony made a change. And they're here. And I'm not saying that we should put crowns on their head or anything, but I'm saying you need to lift up their hands and appreciate who those fine people are, because they are people that hunger and thirst for righteousness. And when they found what was right, they did what was right. And they are happy and content, even though they have gone through all kinds of fiery loops to get where they are today. They've got two fine sons sitting in this audience with grandkids. Let me tell you, it will become very obviously quickly if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because your priorities are going to change. And God is first. Period. It hurts to do what's right sometimes. But in the end, you will be satisfied. And I must sincerely ask you this morning, do you feel satisfied with who you are, your religion, and your faith? And if you say, no, I don't, I would suggest start with your hungered and thirsting for righteousness. That's a good place to start. Thank you for listening this morning. Powerful messages, aren't they? These Beatitudes. Little short statements, but wow, impactful, profound. It changed your life. That's what Jesus did. He came to this world to change our lives. And I'm thankful that He came. And there's a lot more changes I need to make. And there's several more of these Beatitudes we need to talk about. So we can all get in the same boat. We're all trying to get to heaven. We're trying to make the changes we need to make. We're a work in progress. But let's make sure that we don't just say that. Let's make sure we're really trying to accomplish that. So if you need to ask God to forgive you of something, then you need to do it. Why not personally, privately, pray to your God as we sing the invitation song? Ask Him to forgive you as a Christian. But be determined to do better. Maybe you need the prayers of the church. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We'll help you. If you're doing the best you can and you just need to do better, then just keep on doing the best you can. God never expects any of us to do more than we can do. It's just that we are deceived into how much we think we really can do. You can do more. I can do more. Just do it. Quit making excuses. Just do it. Carol and Anthony found out the truth. Oh, I can't even begin to imagine what they've all gone through. But you know what they did? They just did it. And there they are. I'm not saying they're automatically going to heaven. But what I'm saying is, that's the kind of people that God wants, that makes up their mind, regardless of what's in their way, to do what's right. That's the kind of person I need to be. That's the kind of person you need to be. That's what Jesus said will make you happy, when you're that kind of person. You've listened well. Do you need to obey the gospel? Do you need to come to God today? Won't you come as we stand and sing?
Free Christ, your broken mind.